storms of life. See, the truth is, there would always be storms. We would always encounter the storms of life. We would always encounter the issues of life. It is not negotiable. And the fact that we are children of God does not exempt us from the storms of life. So it would be foolishness to think that, okay, because I'm a born-again Christian, I'm spirit-filled, I'm exempt from the storms, the issues, and the challenges of life. They would come. They would always come. But the best we can do for ourselves as God's children is to know how to handle the storm when it comes, is to know what to do when the storm comes, is to know how to conduct ourselves when the storm comes. And that's why I like the Americans. They're used to storms. Fortunately for us in Britain, we rarely experience storms. But the Americans are used to it, and they're always prepared. They know what to do. They know what to do when the storm is coming. They know how to prepare when the storm is coming. And that's the same thing we need to do as God's children. We need to make sure that we understand how to survive when the storm hits us. We need to know how to navigate our way around when the storm hits us. There's no sailor or pilot that does not prepare or simulate a practice for the storm. Okay, so you can never say you're a sailor and you never know what to do when the storm comes. Why? Because you think, well, it just will never come. It will come, and it will come hard. So we need to, as God's people, know what to do, prepare ourselves, understand how to navigate the storms of life. The issues of life are always there. They are always there. So we need to always be prepared. Always be prepared as God's people. So tonight, I'm not talking about the storms. I'm not talking about Katrina, Ophelia, or whatever it is. I'm talking about the storms of life, the storms, spiritual storms. And you might be here tonight and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm bouncing in the Holy Ghost, and there's no storm in my life at the moment. Trust me, it can come. You need to be prepared. And you know, you might also be here and you're holding back from stepping forward in faith and doing what God has laid in your heart to do because you are afraid of the storm ahead. So sometimes, because of fear of the storm that we can encounter, we hold back and we do not step in faith towards the door that God has opened for us. So tonight, I'm going to talk to us about how to survive and navigate these storms. So why do we experience storms? Why do we experience storms? There are two reasons why we can experience storms. We can experience storms due to disobedience. Okay, we know about Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to the people of Nineveh and preach to them. Preach against them, actually. Preach against them because of their sin and their disobedience. Well, of course, Mr. Wise Man Jonah decided, well, I ain't doing that, God. So he got on a boat going to Tarshish. He got on a boat going to Tarshish. And the Bible says to us that God himself, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, God sent a raging storm to hit the boat. And the people, the crew all came out. They were throwing their things out of the boat. They were calling on their gods. They were screaming. They were shouting. And Mr. Jonah was, behold, in the hold, asleep. This is the man who brought this storm upon them. He was in the hold, asleep. And you know, it's interesting. Sometimes we know when we have disobeyed God, and we know that what we're going through is as a result of disobedience. It happens. And you know, the interesting thing is when we're in that situation, we're not really flustered. We know, okay, yes, this is happening because I've disobeyed. That's the same thing with Mr. Jonah. He was sleeping. He knew that God was dealing with him because of his disobedience. But of course, he was wise enough to do a U-turn, turn back, and obey God. So if you're facing a storm as a result of disobedience, if that's your category tonight, my suggestion is very short and simple. Just do a U-turn and obey God. Okay? So the second reason why we can experience a storm is because God is taking us to a better place. God is taking us to a greater place. He's taking us on a journey of greatness. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. If we open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, the book of Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. Can we have it up on the screen, please? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Okay, it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Next verse. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Next verse. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Next verse. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Next verse. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Next. Chapter 5. Please go to chapter 5. Yes. Verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. Okay, so what did Jesus say to his disciples before they embarked on this journey? He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That was the instruction that God gave them. He said to them, let us cross to the other side. But what happened in the process? What happened in the process? The storm arose, okay? And then what happened in the end? They crossed over to the other side. So why were they worried? Why were they pulling their hair out? Why were they screaming? Why were they flustered? Why were they so worried? The scripture says that they were screaming and shouting, but master, do you not care that we perish in this storm? I would have thought that these guys had walked with Jesus not all their lives, but a couple of years, and by now they would know that if the master says, let us cross over to the other side, we would arrive at the other side. Or were they thinking that Jesus would die in a boat wreck or a shipwreck? Is that how they thought their master was going to be taken away from them? Why were they so worried? I would have thought, well, Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. That's fine. We'll cross over to the other side. Even though the storm arose, we would get to the other side. Why? Because the one who we have seen perform miracles, the one who has spoken and it has come to pass, said, we shall cross over to the other side. But unfortunately, instead of them to enjoy the journey, they were worried. You know, sometimes we do not enjoy the present because of the fear of the journey ahead. And that's exactly what the disciples did. If I were them, my goodness, wow, in that storm, I will throw a boat party, I will rock, I will enjoy. Why? Because the master is there. Jesus is there. Why would I be afraid that the storm would take us out? Why would I be afraid that we're going to perish? It's interesting. I remember when I was coming to the United Kingdom, that was my first time ever on an aircraft. I'd never entered one. I'd never moved close to one. But I punished myself going on the aircraft for the first time and going on a 7-hour flight. this man is a bushman from the backside. He's never seen one before. So I boarded the airplane, and I was so excited. I was like, wow, I love airplanes, and that was going to be the best day, one of the best days of my life. I'm going to go on this aircraft. I'm going to see what it's like finally and enjoy it. So I boarded, and we took off. The moment the aircraft took off, immediately it took off, I started hearing all sorts of sounds, all sorts of things going on. I went into a panic. I couldn't talk. I couldn't see anything. All I was doing was just looking at everyone else. Okay. Well, this guy's not worried. Okay, that means everything is fine. Throughout the journey, that's what I did. We hit turbulence, and I was like, okay, what's going on now? It's dark everywhere. What's going on? I can't see where I am. But everyone was just asleep. And I thought, okay, well, if these guys are not doing anything, then there's nothing to worry about. Every time I heard a noise or a sound or the flaps coming up, the gear going down, turbulence, I was so afraid. So something that was meant to be, the best journey or, a dream come true became a nightmare for me. It was so embarrassing. I couldn't narrate that experience to anyone. So that's the same thing that we do sometimes. Instead of us to enjoy the journey, enjoy the present, because God is taking you on a journey to an expected end, we live in fear and panic, and we're so scared. We're not sure if we're going to make it. We're not sure if God really, really spoke. But God said to his disciples, let's go to the other side, because he was taking them to a place of fulfillment. He was taking them to a place where their ministry was going to take a new identity. He was taking them to a place where they were going to have a new experience with him. If we look at Psalm 66 from verse 12, it says, you have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to reach fulfillment. You brought us out to reach fulfillment. Even though we went through water, even though we went through fire, even though men rode over our heads, but you still brought us to the place of rich fulfillment. Brethren, when the storm hits you, it doesn't mean you're going to perish. When God says to you, I'm taking you to the other side, to a place of fulfillment, when the storm hits, there is no way that storm is going to take you out. Why? Because God himself has spoken. God has said to you, I'm going to take you to the other side. I'm going to take you to a better place. But instead of us to enjoy it, we're asking God questions. God, why? Why me? Why me? I had 2 job offers. I chose this job because you said so. Now I've been made redundant. I should have chosen the other job. Why me? Relax. God is taking you on a journey to fulfillment. Or you might be here, you're thinking, oh, why did I marry this man? Why did I marry this man? There was another guy who was all over me, who was, buying me flowers, and he was the gentleman, the perfect gentleman. And I had to choose between this man and that man. But because you said to me, marry this man, I married him. Now, he's like the worst thing ever. He's like my whole life is crumbling because I married this man. Why me? Why me? Keep calm. God is taking you on a journey to a place of fulfillment. I remember Pastor was sharing with us about the lady whose husband left her, and said for about 14 years or something like that, she was believing that this man was going to come back. Did he come back? That's a woman that knew what God said to her. That's a woman that knew the word that God spoke to her. The storm came, but she knew that God spoke a word. Yeah, it might sound ridiculous, but trust me, when God has spoken that word, and you know God asked me to marry this man, if you don't know and you're not sure, that's a different matter. But if God said to you, marry this man, marry this man, when the storm hits you, remember that God himself spoke the word to you. If God said to you, choose this job over the other one, even if they make you redundant, God is taking you on a journey to fulfillment. I remember when I was made redundant in 2009, it was nasty. That was my first time ever facing redundancy. It was nasty. And I thought, well, my faith arose, and I thought, well, no problem. God is going to provide another. I went for interview upon interview. Every interview I'll go, I'm thinking, yes, this is it. Now God is going to show up. God is going to arise. God is going to restore all that has been stolen from me. And then you get the nasty email or the nasty phone call. Sorry, you were not qualified. Or sorry, there was a better candidate. It happened time and time and time again. It was such a stormy situation. I remember one of the interviews I did, they said to me that you were so good. We loved you. You were excellent. But this test you did, you didn't quite meet the marks. Can you come back and rewrite the test? I was like, what? And straight away, I thought, oh, wow. Father, you are so awesome. Thank you. I went back there with so much confidence. Wrote the test again. Flung the thing again. I was weeping. I was weeping. And then the usual, oh, Father, but I pay my tithe. Oh, Lord, I serve in your house. Oh, it was a nasty, stormy experience. But when the plan, the job that God had planned for me came, that was the job that pushed my entire career into a new dimension. That was the job that God used to eventually get me to my place of fulfillment. That's the job that God eventually used to take me to the other side where there were bigger and better things. So when the storm hits you, it's not the time for you to cry. Yes, it's tough. It's a tough one. But always know deep down that God is taking you to a place of fulfillment. And always know, remember this, the disciples, always know that this storm is not for my destruction. This storm will come, but I'm going to come out alive on the other side as God has spoken. So I say to you tonight that don't just hold on to the promise. You need to trust the promise and trust the process. There is a process to the promise that God has given to you. You need to trust the promise and also trust the process. Don't think that, oh, if God says I'm going to the other side, I'm just going to go to the other side and it's going to be a smooth ride. It can be sometimes, but sometimes it's going to be a rough ride. But know for sure that you're getting to the other side. You're going to get to the other side in the mighty name of Jesus. There is a promise for that journey. There's a process for that journey and that promise that God has given to you. There is always a process. So tonight, how do we survive the storm? How do we survive the storm? When the storm comes, how do we survive it? So first, I'm going to talk to us on how to survive the storm. And then I'm going to talk to us on how to navigate the storm. So how do we survive the storm? Number one, maintain your peace. Say, maintain your peace. That's number one. So this is what I call the survival kit. So these three things I'm going to talk to you about, I want you to make sure you note it down. And if you can, just keep it in your heart, because you're going to need it one day. Trust me. One day, you're going to need it. So number one is maintain your peace. And John 14:27 says to us that peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, peace I give to you. Peace I give to you. Don't lose your sleep over the storm. Don't lose your sleep because it looks rough. God has given you peace. So do not let the storm take that peace away from you. Do not lose your peace in the midst of the storm. God has given you peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So why were the disciples in such a panic when the one who gives peace was right there with them? Why were they in such a panic? Why did they lose their peace? Why? I'm sure when they got to the other side, they were thinking, oh, goodness, what was that all about? They did not even enjoy the journey across to the other side. I'm sure they got there and they were thinking, oh, if only we knew. Why were we worrying? Why were we not sleeping at night? What a waste of time. And when we were expecting my first born, my daughter, barely 3-4 months into the pregnancy, I was sleeping one day and my wife woke me up. She said, my water's broke. I said, who broke it? What am I talking about? My water's broke. This was January. And that was, I tell you, up until the time she was born, we did not enjoy the pregnancy. You know, we didn't do the things that everyone would do, go take pictures with the bump, you know, go to the park, walk around with it. We didn't do none of that. My goodness, we were living every single day in fear and panic, not sure what's going to happen next. So we thought, okay, that's fine. They said, oh, there's something called dry pregnancy. She'll be fine. She can carry the pregnancy. So we thought, okay, just be walking gently. Don't jump around. When you're leading praise and worship, just stand in one place. If I see you jumping, I'll come down. It was such a nightmare. And then 2 weeks later, she woke me up again. I think I'm in labor. I said, who told you what labor feels like? How do you know? This is your first prayer. How do you know you're in labor? I said, okay, you know what? This was about 4 a.m. I said, sleep. Let's sleep. Because I ain't losing sleep over this thing again. Sleep. Let's wait till like 7. Let's see how you're feeling. The next time she woke me up, she had a shower, packed her hospital bag. Then I knew, okay, this is not a joke anymore. This is no joke anymore. And that was it. We had the baby that day. But I must confess to you, we lived every day not sure what was going to happen next. All through when she was in, our daughter was in the hospital in intensive care, in the intensive care unit, it was like, goodness, every day we go there, we're not sure what's going to happen. It was just the fear of the unknown, right? It was a stormy situation for us. And when we came out of the hospital, the baby was fine and all, I was thinking, okay, where has the last 3 months gone? I couldn't account for it. I didn't enjoy any part of it. You know, it was. And then I was thinking, why the panic then? Look at this girl running around now. She's eating, she's grown, and she's big and doing everything a normal child would do. So why did we panic? Why did we panic? God gave us a word when we got pregnant with this baby. So why did we panic? Why did we not just enjoy ourselves? Why did we not just, you know, enjoy every part of the journey? Even though it was a stormy journey, why did we not just enjoy it? Enjoy the journey. Stay at peace. Keep calm. God is in charge. You might be here, you've lost your job, and you're thinking, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. Or you've been to interviews, loads of interviews, and you keep getting turned down. Keep calm. God is taking you on a journey. Or you're here tonight and your marriage is in a nasty storm and you think, okay, that's it. I've lost everything. I've lost my entire marriage. I've lost my family. I've lost everything. Keep calm. God is taking you on a journey to a place of fulfillment. God is taking you on a journey to a place of enlargement. God is taking you on a journey to a place of abundance. Keep calm. So maintain your peace. And the second thing you need to put in your survival kit is maintain your expectation. Maintain your expectation. And Book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. Proverbs 10, 28. It says, the expectations of the righteous results in joy, but the hopes of the wicked will perish. The expectations of the righteous result in joy. Don't underestimate the power of expectation, because that's what the Bible has said to us there, that the expectation of the righteous would always result in joy. Don't underestimate the power of expectation. You'll be surprised how many people have zero expectation. Zero expectation would yield zero result. I remember a brother once was out of work, and every day I asked him, how's it going? You know, he wasn't sure. He'll say today, he'll say, oh, well, yeah, I'm trying, I'm applying. Tomorrow he's saying, oh, I'm going back to my country. Oh, I'm applying, yeah, I'm trying. I told him, I said, sir, do you really want a job or not? Right there, I said to him, you need to set your expectation. If you do not have your expectation set on what you want, you cannot get it. Barely 2 weeks after, he got a job, which he's still doing till today. Expect your promise to come to pass. Expect that word that he has spoken to come to pass. He said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Why were they not expecting to get to the other side? He has said to you, I'm going to take you to the other side of abundance, to your place of promise. Why are you not expecting to get to the other side? He says he has opened a door for you. Why are you not expecting to walk through that door? Why are you allowing the storms of life to blind your vision? Why are you allowing the storms of life to steal your peace? Why are you allowing the storms of life to steal your expectation? Maintain your expectation. If he has said it, he will do it. If he has said it, it will come to pass. Don't allow the storm to steal your expectation. And Proverbs 23:18 also says to us, Proverbs 23:18, it says, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. No matter what you face, no matter what you see, expect to get to the other side. No matter what you see, expect the promise that God has given you to come to pass. It may look humanly impossible. Brethren, God can do a miracle. It may look like there is no way this thing is going to be. You can be staring at the door ahead of you and you're thinking, there is no way I can get through this door. God does miracles. Miracles can happen. It doesn't have to make sense to you. You don't have to plan how you're going to get there. But God himself, who has said it, will make sure that you arrive at your place of promise. The third thing is, maintain your confession. So this is the third thing you need to put in your survival kit. So maintain your peace, number one. Maintain your expectation, number two. And number three, maintain your confession. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. It says that you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. When the storm hits, it's not the time to say, oh, I'm finished. It's not the time to say, oh, I'm so messed up right now. It's not the time to say, oh, this child is going to kill me. The same child that of promise that God has given to you. Do not use your mouth to say, oh, this child is going to kill me. Don't say, oh, this man is going to kill me. This woman is going to kill me. Oh, this job is so going to kill me. This boss at work is so going to kill me. Do not use your mouth to destroy your promise because of the storm that you see. Maintain your confession. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You can be in that storm, right? And you keep using your mouth to pull yourself back. You keep using your mouth to draw yourself back. Maintain your confession. Maintain your confession. Jesus said to the storm, peace, be still. He used his mouth to make a declaration and a proclamation. He said, peace, be still. So be careful what you say in the time of trouble. Be careful what you say in the time of storm. Be careful. Be careful. Use your mouth and use it to your advantage. Even if everything else gets thrown out in the time of a storm, your mouth would always be with you. There's no one that can take your mouth away from you. So use it to your advantage. Use it to your advantage. Maintain your confession. So those are the three things that you put in your survival kit in the time of storm. Now, how do we navigate the storm? How do we navigate the storm? Of course, in a storm, you cannot rely on your visuals. You cannot rely on your vision. You can barely see in a storm. When there's a storm, you cannot rely on your vision or your visuals to help you out. I always use this example of an airplane. I'm sure by now you guys are thinking, this guy self, can he even fly? I can fly. You know, there's no pilot who can land an aircraft in a storm. It's not possible. If he tries it, he's on a suicide mission. What do they rely on? So in aviation, we have what we call, you guys, I'll continue to use this example until you buy me aircraft or something. Then I'll shut up. There's something called visual flight rules, and there's something called instrument flight rules. Okay? So visual flight rules, the pilot can fly, control the aircraft, and land it safely by what he sees. But instrument flight rules, he cannot. He needs to rely on all those many buttons and dials in the cockpit to guide him. So I don't know if you, when you're landing, do you notice those lights on the runway? Or if you're driving around Heathrow, do you notice those yellow things just before the plane lands? Okay, those are the things that actually land the aircraft using radio beams. So they're called a glide slope and the localizer. So the localizer would automatically steer the aircraft left and right, and the glide slope would control the altitude of the aircraft. Okay, so in a storm, a pilot will never rely on what he can see. All he does is pushes the button, engages autopilot, and it will guide the aircraft until it lands. That is instrument flight rules. And that's the same thing with us in a storm. You cannot see anything. Even if you see, you are not seeing a clear picture. So how do you navigate in the storm of life when you cannot see? How do you navigate? Number one, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In the storms of life, do not rely on what you can see. Do not rely on what you can hear. Rely on the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. From verse 26. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It says, one, he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He will teach you what to do. He will teach you how to do it. He will teach you what to say. And it says, he will bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what God said to you initially about your destination that you're trying to get to. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that God has said to me, let us go to the other side. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that God has said to you, I will deliver this promise to you. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that God has said to me that take this job. It might look like I'm in a storm right now in this job that I'm doing, but the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that God said to you, this is the job I want for you. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance that this is the man that I made for you. This is the woman that I made for you. The Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance what God had said to us initially. So when the storm rocks you, when the storm shakes you, remember that there is one who can help you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. Many times, we fail to remember that we have the Holy Spirit with us. And that's what Jesus said there, that I'm leaving you, but I am leaving you with a helper who will teach you and remind you. The Holy Spirit is very powerful. I was sharing with someone who was bereaved recently, and I was saying to him that, look, I cannot say to you, do not mourn. I cannot say to you that all is well. I won't use the cliche, the normal phrase of, yeah, it is well. Really? If you lose a dear one, a loved one, you won't think it is well. But I said to him that the Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit can bring you comfort. And I remember when my first experience of the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit was when I lost my dad. And I was like, I thought, yeah, this is it. This is the end. And I remember there was a lady who held me close, and she prayed for me. And she said, the Holy Spirit should comfort me. Brethren, instantly, I felt a peace. That was my first encounter of the peace of the Holy Spirit. I felt a peace. I couldn't explain it. It was as if the whole thing that I was feeling, the whole burden was just lifted away from me, because the Holy Spirit, my helper, was right there by my side. So in the storm, remember to reach out to the Holy Spirit. In that storm of life, in that challenge, in that turbulent situation, remember the Holy Spirit. You cannot see him, but he's right there with you. Always remember the Holy Spirit brings you peace. He will teach you and he will remind you of the promise that God has given to you. The second thing is the Word of God. The Word of God. How we navigate the storms of life through the Word of God. And if you go to Isaiah 43 verse 2. Isaiah 43 verse 2. Are we learning something tonight? Yes. Isaiah 43 verse 2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. It says, when you pass through the water, I will be with you. And through the river, they shall not overflow you. When you face the storms of life, go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word that God has spoken to you. Go back and hold on to it. Hold on to it. That is your anchor in the storm. That is your anchor in that turbulent situation. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. Go back to the Word of God. Unfortunately, in the storm, instead of you to find the Word of God as your anchor, you forget about it and you just go with your feelings. You need an anchor in the storm. You need an anchor in the storm. The anchor is what holds the boat and tries to steady it in the time of storm. That is your anchor. So go back and hold on to that word that God has spoken. Hold on to it tight, like your life depends on it. Hold on to it. There's this song we used to sing when I was in the Baptist church. Some of you might know it. Some of you might laugh at me. And some of you might report me to Pastor Eddie if I sing it. But that song is very powerful. You know, I like hymns. That's just me. I like hymns because most times hymns is like reading the Bible in a song, and they're so powerful. And that hymn says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? I've been listening to that hymn all week, and it's just amazing. I'm not going to sing it. I don't want trouble. But I can read it to you. Should I read it to you? Okay. I'll read it to you. Oh, I can hear some people. Do you want to sing it? When I leave, come and sing. I'll read it to you. Okay, it says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? He says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. That's actually scripture, you know. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Can we have it on the screen, please? Okay, I read it from my Bible. It says, from verse 11. But we passionately want each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of your hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and perseverance inherit the promises. Verse 13. Now, when God made his promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you greatly and multiply your descendants abundantly. And so, by persevering, Abraham inherited the promise. He says, by persevering, Abraham had to persevere for him to inherit that promise. Verse 16 says, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and the oath serves as confirmation to end all dispute. In the same way, God wanted to demonstrate more clearly to the heirs of the promise that his purpose was unchangeable, and so he intervened with an oath, so that we who have found refuge in him may find strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us through two unchangeable things, since it is impossible for God to lie. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, which reaches inside behind the curtains. That scripture says that it is impossible for God to lie. When God has given a promise, it is going to happen. When God has spoken a word, it is going to happen. No matter how long, no matter how you get there. It's not about how you get there, as long as you get there. But one thing is sure, you will get there. There's a saying that says that it is not about how hard you hit, but how hard you are hit, right? And you keep on going. I'm sure some of you have heard that before. It's not about how hard you hit, but how hard you are hit and you keep on going. So it doesn't matter how you get there. It is getting there that matters. At the end of the day, it is getting there that counts. Hold on. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the promise. Don't quit in the middle of the storm. It will take you as much effort to quit and go back to where you think is your place of safety as going forward and pressing on till you get to your place of promise. Don't run back to where you think is the place of safety. Keep pressing on till you get to your promise. Keep pressing on until you get to the door that God has opened for you. So you can be going through a storm tonight. Brethren, don't give up. Don't quit. If you're going through a storm due to your disobedience, do a U-turn and follow God's instructions. If you're going through a storm right now, don't quit. If you're going through a storm and you're following the word and instruction of God, do not quit. Or if you're here tonight and you're afraid to embark on the journey that God has asked you to, don't be afraid of the storm ahead. Don't be afraid of the storm that lies ahead of you. God is faithful to take you through. God is faithful to see you through. If Abraham had to endure, how much more us? Endure, because you will get there, and it will be a place of abundance. It will be a place of fulfillment. It will be a place of joy, a place of happiness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet tonight. And I feel led to pray and agree tonight with anyone who's, if you feel you're going through a storm tonight and you think, yes, I know why this is happening, I've disobeyed God, and you need God's mercy tonight, can we close our eyes and just bow our heads? I want you to raise your hand as we pray a prayer of agreement. Or if you're here tonight and you're currently right in the face of the storm, but you still remember the promise of God for you, you remember the word that God has given to you, and you're pressing on to get to your place of promise, and the storm is raging, lift your hand tonight, and we're going to pray a prayer of agreement tonight. Or if you're afraid of even starting the journey at all, God has told you, embark on this journey of promotion, embark on this journey of bigger and greater things, but you're afraid to step into the water because you can see the storm ahead. I want you to lift your hand tonight to heaven, and we're going to pray a prayer of agreement with you. I feel very strongly in my spirit to do this tonight, and I believe that testimonies will come off the back of tonight's encounter in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands up to heaven tonight. Can I ask that you come forward? Come forward tonight. Don't be shy. Don't be scared. Come forward. Come forward tonight. And I want to ask the pastors and the ministers to please, let's come and surround these people tonight. Let's hold our hands together. If we can, please, help me, pastors and ministers. Let's hold our hands and just surround them and pray. If we can come round, if we stay in the middle and let the ministers and the pastors just hold their hands around you tonight. And we're going to pray a prayer of agreement. So there are three categories here. I don't know which category you belong to. If you're facing a storm and you know that this might be as a result of my disobedience, there is mercy. God can show you mercy. If you're here and you are afraid to take that step of faith into the water, God is able. Do not be afraid. Or if you're facing the storm right now, you've taken the bold step and the storm is hitting you, God is able. I want us to pray a prayer of agreement.